The Voices.Earth podcast series is brought to you by the .Earth domain. In each episode, we shine a light on organizations and individuals who are part of the growing .Earth tribe, as well as those outside of our tribe who are all making our planet a better place. In this Voices.Earth podcast interview, we are speaking with Arthur Mustafa, CEO and founder of HOME, which has the website HabitatOnMother.Earth, which offers self-sustaining AI-enhanced regenerative biosystems and infrastructure for growing, selling, and distributing affordable, healthy, and sustainable locally produced food. And Arthur, how are you doing today?
Hey, I'm good. Thanks. How are you, Matt?
Excellent. Well, thanks for joining us today. And let's kick it off and tell us about HOME and your computer-aided regenerative aquaponics solutions and really how the whole idea came about, too.
Well, I used to work as a furniture designer a long time ago, and I had focus on producing sustainable, locally produced furniture. And so in 2007 or something, we won a trend prize for influencing the furniture industry towards that. But that made me question myself, like, if I really want things to be produced in a sustainable way, because already back then we could see that consumption patterns and production patterns were not really good for our planet, then producing another, even though it's a sustainably produced piece of furniture, makes no sense. I'm still adding something. So I kind of realized that the biggest contribution I did at that time was getting the furniture industry to look at sustainable ways of producing. But for me, I wanted to, you know, find a way to not make people accomplices to the global degradation of habitats and pollution just by existing, by eating or by consuming. So I started working towards solutions to designers for them to be able to work in a more sustainable way, like choosing certain materials would change the footprint of that product. But then that was during the financial crisis of 2008, 2009. So people don't tend to put that much money into design during times like that. So I found that instead of working with that altogether, I looked for a way to learn more. So I started working with an NGO in the UK, working with sustainable urban development or sustainable peri-urban development and rapid ways of regenerating areas. So in there, I was studying and researching sustainable villages around the globe. And I could see that they were all fighting with the same obstacles or the same problems, trying to achieve the same thing, to get some kind of self-sustainability or to be self, you know, just reliant on yourself locally. So food production was one major thing, energy usage. But they rarely spoke to each other. I mean, they maybe met at conferences, but they never got any real knowledge exchange from these different communities. So I was thinking of a way to digitalize that so that they didn't have to make an effort, that whatever you made in one place would automatically be available to a village somewhere else. And looking at one of the big obstacles of becoming, you know, self-reliant in a community is that often that meant that most people had to start producing a lot of food and, you know, work with the food production cycle. And for me, that wasn't really sustainable, because then you wouldn't be able to sustain a very high-tech culture where most of you have to, you know, work the land in different ways all the time, even though, you know, permaculture and all these things can help. So this is, as I mentioned before, in around 2008, I thought that maybe in the future there would be ways to, you know, gain insights from the different communities and distribute that to everyone who's connected, and also to maybe make some of the food production processes more automatic. And so aquaponics is a good way of making that. I mean, first of all, there are a lot of benefits of growing aquaponically. You know, you can save water. You can use 90% to 99% less water than if you grow in, you know, traditional farmland. There are ways to capture nutrients so you don't, you know, just pour out phosphor that goes into the groundwater and remains inaccessible. You know, it's also a non-renewable resource. So there are many benefits of it. Plus, the processes of aquaponics can be controlled and run. So basically, you create small habitat. And before, there weren't really that many sensors that could capture, you know, all the information you needed. But yeah, we started the company, me and my brother, in 2017. And by then, I had come to the conclusion that there were ways, you know, to spread insights from one place to another place automatically without people having to think about it. You know, we had through machine learning, etc. The sensors were cheaper and had a lot of different, you know, applications. IoT had, you know, started to find its market and different applications. And then LEDs were getting cheaper and better by the year. And I think in 2016 or 2017, solar energy was cheaper than fossil fuels. So altogether, I saw that vision that I've had for a long time, you know, of creating a sustainable community where you didn't have to all of a sudden dedicate all your time to working the lands, but where you could actually, instead of being afraid that robots take our jobs and AI takes, you know, qualified work roles, it's like most people work to get food. So why not let robots and AI do that work? They work, give you the food, enough for you to eat in a way that's regenerative. It produces food. You know, we can use the waste streams to regenerate the world outside. And by creating these small habitats, we actually expand the biocapacity of the planet. So there are many benefits. And another added benefit is that you don't have to work for your food anymore. You get the equipment, it feeds you, and there's enough for it to sell so that you can actually pay off the cost for the equipment. And yeah, so this is a little bit about the company and what we're doing. So it's more than just producing food. It's about taking people out from a system where you work to get food on the table to survive. And then, you know, people might end up in jobs they don't really like at all just to get food. But if you then all of a sudden had your food costs covered, plus like a basic income, you know, money from the extra food that you sell that you won't eat, then, you know, it becomes easier for people to choose what they want to do or you know, how they want to spend their time. So that's a great bit of how it started and you know, some of the components in.
That's awesome. Thank you, Arthur. You certainly shared a lot of the story behind this, and it totally makes, you know, a lot of sense. I'm really excited to see how you're leveraging machine learning and AI, because we're certainly seeing this play out in many other sectors. And I agree with you. I don't think, you know, robots are going to take over the world, and you're seeing it being used in like large computer systems, whether it's for large corporations, even for government and cybersecurity. It certainly is kind of the next frontier. And just tell us a little bit about how the machine learning and AI actually works in your solutions.
So one way it works is if you have an aquaponic setup, so you have your fish and you have your plants in different sections. But then you might want to try another kind of plant, but you don't know anything about that plant. You're not a biologist or horticulturist. But then you have the system. So you can place the seeds in the system. So, and then like the system can try out one variety or one species or, you know, in many different places at the same time. So you can change the variable. So, okay, here's 2 degrees warmer. Here the pH level is a bit different. So you can try these different settings over every connected unit or facility. And in a very short time, within 1 or 2 growth cycles, it will have, yeah, if not an optimized way of growing that plant, then somewhere along the road to the optimal settings for that plant. That's one way of doing it. So that's sort of the machine learning aspect. And then, of course, there are many ways you can, through neural networks, you can have it, you know, see, okay, so this is almost ready for harvest here, or we have some kind of change in the fins of the fish, maybe they have a disease, you know, so image recognition or recognizing the state the plants are in, that's one way. But to be able to foresee what to grow when to grow it to get as much yield as possible. And also to, you know, if someone in one place gets one of these units, they might not know anything about growing, but they always wanted to. So, okay, now they have a computer system that helps them grow. And we have some experts on, you know, the other end of the system that sees and checks that what the AI does is correct. So we don't, you know, ruin anyone's aquaponic setup somewhere. But that person might be a really good engineer, you know, and so they might tweak some of the settings. So it might pump more water for less energy. Looking at only their own facility, that difference might be, you know, minuscule. But if we have 1,000 or more connected units, then, you know, it might start having an impact on how things are grown. You know, it might create a saving. So that originator of that idea can then be reimbursed for that idea. So through the system with mass data and it being open for the users to change and optimize, then we create sort of a culture to benefit R&D, because, you know, any given operator that makes an addition then gets money from that as well. So that means in the end, we don't have to have a centralized R&D unit, but it can learn from all of its different users in different ways, you know, which is something you don't get at a farm. You know, the tractor doesn't learn from the harvester automatically on how to do. But here you have a system where, you know, everyone that grows in that way get the accumulated know-how from growing that way and get the benefits from that without having to study, you know, biology or agriculture or anything like that for 5-6 years. That are a few ways that the AI and machine learning, you know, work and actually help, yeah, make growing easier.
Yeah, that's great. Really interesting stuff there. And tell us more about your business model. I understand you're leasing the home aquaponic systems to franchise growers, and you also apply subscriptions on seeds, fish food, and other consumables. So would love to hear more about that stuff.
Well, we want to make it as easy for people to start growing as possible. I mean, a lot of people might want to start growing for different reasons, but then there is the either the obstacle of, okay, I need equipment and the equipment is expensive. Okay, so we offer a leasing option. Or they have to know, you know, what to grow, how to grow it. And yet again, we have our software, so they get all the instructions there. And they don't have to sit and order seeds, but the software keeps track on how much they're growing, how many seeds need to be planted, and how many kilograms, or, you know, what the weight of food fodder for the fish they need. So everything gets sent to the grower just in time, and they get their instructions on an iPad more or less, or a pad. They can just see what to do. So our services is basically, if you want to grow and you have a place to grow, we'll make it as easy for you as possible, because the way we grow actually help capture carbon dioxide from the atmosphere and bind it. So we want as many people to start growing this way as possible. All of our services are basically there to make it the transition from a non-grower to a grower as smooth as possible.
Excellent. That's great stuff there. And let's talk about your website. The URL is habitatonmother.earth, which is an acronym on home, H-O-M-E, which is really kind of the brand. And it's very creative way how you use the .earth domain. So tell us more about that and tell us why you chose .earth.
Well, it made sense. I mean, if the, first of all, if the company name is Home Habitat on Mother Earth, so it would feel strange to add .com at the end or something like that. And also because we don't see it as necessarily first and foremost a commercial thing. It's about creating regenerative systems that help regenerate Earth, you know, our common habitat. And so it felt right for more than one reason. And it's already sort of a long address. To make it longer by adding an irrelevant word or ending at the end didn't feel right. And .earth, it felt like it was meant to be, more or less. So I was happy when I realized that .earth existed.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's great. Again, I love the play on it too, with the acronym and using .earth as the E for home. That's really cool stuff there. And so what does the future hold for home? What's your growth path and future vision?
At the moment, we have a few customers here in Europe, a few in Sweden, three in Sweden, one in Denmark, one in Slovakia. And we're looking at putting up our own R&D facility locally here in Sweden also. And we hope to, you know, run these for a year or two so that people really can see different examples of how it works. You know, from one scale we have it in this small kind of urban street food, but they grow their own aquaponic food inside the restaurants. So that's the smaller scale. And then we have a few hundred square meters where we're trying both avocado and hops for bear production. We have different scales, and we are showing those in the coming 2 years. So the ambition is that once we have these examples that we can show, we will be able to grow in more markets at the same time. So and also growing by taking in partners. But so we'll see. We have a strategy, but in a way, things change constantly, and it's about being able to navigate through, you know, all the hurdles or opportunities that pop up right in front of you. So far we've kept our course quite readily or steadily towards the goal. So if I would, you know, see what the future holds for home, then it's hopefully, yeah, starting to get implemented in more places. And for me personally, I'm setting up a sustainable community also, where I'm using home as sort of the engine creating value for the place, instead of having a community that costs money because of, you know, property needs maintenance, etc. You have a community that generates money through producing food. So that's also one of the future scenarios for home, showing different ways. So showing it from the small scale, the restaurant scale, the private owner family scale to community owned scale. So hopefully we'll get to implement this coming 2-3 years.
That's great. Well, I love the overall vision. And also, Arthur, really appreciate your time today. And before we sign off, is there anything else to add or anything we may have missed?
I'm sure there is. I mean, I can speak forever, or I can, you know, it's difficult to know how much depth or level of information to give in a setting like this. But no, I think we're good. If anyone wants to find out anything more, I mean, there's a link here in the podcast. So yeah, we're open to answering questions.
Awesome. Well, great. And for all of our listeners, you just heard an exclusive Voices.Earth podcast interview with Arthur Mustafa, who's the CEO and founder of Home, which has the website Habitat on Mother.Earth. And Home offers a self-sustaining AI-enhanced regenerative biosystems and infrastructure for growing, selling, and distributing affordable, healthy, and sustainable locally produced food. And Arthur, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you very much, Matt. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for listening to this segment. .earth is a real live internet domain that anyone can use. Listeners can go to our Voices.earth site to find out what others are doing with their unique .earth domains. Through Voices.earth, you can also secure your own .earth domain name through all major registrars.